Welcome to the Love Yourself Naked podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Glubish, and I've been working with women for over 2 years to help them ditch the diet mentality, find food freedom, and gain a body confidence that they never knew was possible. There is so much information out there about how to eat, how to exercise, and how to live a healthy lifestyle. My goal on the show is to help answer all your questions and provide you the tools you need to live in peace with food and love your body. So if you are ready to discover what it's like to live a life without obsession, you are in the right place. Now let's get to the show. Welcome to the show. Today is a spicy little solo episode. Haven't had one in a couple weeks. And honestly, I kind of was having a little bit of, not brain fog, writer's block, I suppose, podcaster's block. Anyways, I was having a little bit of a tough time thinking about exactly what I wanted to talk about this week. So I wanted to put it out there that if you are an avid listener, or maybe this is even your first time listening, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what you would like to hear on the podcast, what questions that you might have. So if you have any ideas, if you have any suggestions, if there are any topics that you would love to hear me discuss on the show, I would love for you to either DM me on Instagram or you can send me an email, chelsea@thefoodfreedomist.com. I'll put both of those pieces of contact in the show notes. But chances are you are here listening to this podcast today because you are already an intuitive eater who wants to keep taking in supportive content and credible information to keep you on the path, or you are someone who has started dipping their toes in intuitive eating and you maybe want a little bit more support, a little bit more guidance, or you are somebody who is struggling with food and you know that you don't want to turn to another diet, but you have no idea where to start. So you might have heard about this whole intuitive eating thing and you're wondering what it is. Today's episode is speaking to all of you. If you fit into any of those boxes, or if you are an outlier or you're living in that gray space, I love the gray space, this is likely going to speak to you as well. I want to take this episode to create some awareness around the biggest mistakes that people make when they are starting an intuitive eating journey and trying to find food freedom, as obviously the title suggests. Now, as the title suggests, I'm only going to talk about three of those mistakes today, but there are definitely lots. These are just the most common ones that end up taking most people out of the game because they end up feeling like they failed and it's not working for them. Of course, stay tuned until the end, all the way through, for tips on how to problem solve these common missteps so that you can be successful on your intuitive eating journey, because you deserve food freedom. You deserve to be at peace with food and your body. Before we dive in, I just want to remind you that my next group coaching cohort is starting in just 2 weeks, and I'm offering something super exciting for this cohort that I have never done before. Because I know how much food and body struggles are plaguing our society, like literally everywhere. I don't know a single person that doesn't struggle to an extent. Even myself, I still have bad body image days. I still have days where, you know, I have those intrusive food thoughts. Now, obviously, I have the tools to navigate those and they don't come up anywhere near as often as they used to. And I'm really great at, you know, moving through them and getting past them. But the truth is we all struggle in some capacity. And I want this service to be available to everyone. And so this cohort, I'm going to be sponsoring one woman into the program. So if you are struggling with food in any capacity, if you are attached to tracking your food, feel out of control around certain foods or guilty for eating them, if you go through binge and restrict cycles, if you view food as calories and you feel like you're always doing math in your head to figure out if you're overeating, if you're getting enough, if you should be cutting certain things out, if you can't figure out why some days you just can't stop eating and others you aren't hungry at all, or why you're so bloated and feel like as soon as you eat one cookie, you immediately gain weight, you are made to be in this program. We cover all topics from hunger and fullness to learning about macronutrients and how to balance your plate without tracking food to finding peace with your body instead of hating it. This is literally a total roadmap to food freedom and becoming an intuitive eater, and it will solve in depth all of these common mistakes that I'm going to talk about today. So make sure if this is something that interests you that you click the link in the show notes to apply, or you can DM me personally and we can chat about, you know, the details and what the program looks like and go through all of that to make sure that it is a good fit for you and talk about how to secure your spot. Also, as promised on my first episode of the year, I'm going to be sharing a weekly win from followers on Instagram, clients, email subscribers, or anyone who shares with me part of their journey. So this week I'm sharing a win from one of my clients. Her name is Sarah. In our coaching session this week, Sarah shared that she finally went out and bought some jeans that fit her. Halla friggin' Luya. Go Sarah. She said, and I quote, "Chelsea, when I tell you I feel so hot in this new pair of jeans I bought from Old Navy, it is the best feeling." So something that Sarah and I have been working on for a long time is wearing clothes that make her feel comfortable. And this is something that I would encourage you to do as well. I'm not saying you have to throw anything out, but at the very least, box up the clothes that in this season do not fit your body. All that they're doing by sitting there or hanging there in your closet is taunting you and making you not feel good enough. So in this moment, the best thing you can do is follow Sarah's lead, hit up the Old Navy sales and get some clothes that fit you and that you feel good in. And one thing that I will just add is that Sarah was saying that Old Navy is the only place that she has found that had plus size jeans in like an abundance of sizes and an abundance of styles. So she wasn't scouring to find the only pair of jeans that fit her in all of the styles. There were sizes in all styles and multiple sizes in all styles. And then actually, I did share this with a couple other people as well, and they really echoed that Old Navy is the bee's knees. So if you are struggling to find jeans that fit you, it sounds like Old Navy is the place to go. Also, remember that in this same breath, talking about, you know, wearing clothes that fit you, our bodies are meant to change throughout our lives. We've just been conditioned to act in opposition to that and fight the change by continuing to fund a $1 billion diet industry. You do not have to buy into that anymore. I do not buy into it. Sarah does not buy into it. We don't have to do this anymore. We can change the narrative. The other thing that I want to share with you before we get into the most common intuitive eating mistakes are just some stats. And I actually, in thinking about the episode that I wanted to do this week, I was trying to plan it around these stats because I feel like they are very important to share. But I couldn't really come up with a topic that gracefully incorporated them. So I'm honestly just going to throw them in there. And they're just going to be a little bit of the introduction. Don't worry, I'm not going to get super sciencey on you with these statistics. But I think it's important to know how big of a problem dieting actually is to help reinforce why we even start an intuitive eating journey in the first place and to give us that little bit of motivation to continue working through those common mistakes to get to a place where we are maybe more comfortably an intuitive eater. So these stats that I'm going to share with you are from the NEDA website, N-E-D-A, which is the National Eating Disorder Association. I'll link the website and the statistics portion of the website below as well. So if you want to read more or you want to just validate that what I'm telling you is true, you can click on that below. These stats that I'm going to share are not just about eating disorders or targeted towards people who have a clinically diagnosable eating disorder. They are also for anyone out there who may be struggling with disordered eating, which is pretty all-encompassing of most food struggles. It's also to help bring light to how systemic and generational these struggles are and to emphasize that if we don't start changing the narrative and changing the behaviors and stop normalizing all of these diet culture practices, these numbers and these statistics are only going to get worse and the diet industry is only going to get richer. And what I'm about to share impacts all of us, regardless of how healthy or damaged our relationship with food is. Okay, here we go. Rapid fire through some of these alarming statistics. So the first one, fear of weight gain, feeling like one is overeating, feelings of guilt, thinking about dieting, and a desire for thinness are predictive of eating disorder severity. Makes sense. 62.3% of teenage girls and 28.8% of teenage boys report trying to lose weight. 58.6% of girls and 28.2% of boys are actively dieting. 68.4% of girls and 51% of boys exercise with the goal of losing weight or to avoid gaining weight. Now, we can look into these numbers and we can say, oh my gosh, those numbers are alarming. But I think what is more alarming or what we really want to take out of this is, number one, the fact that we are talking about teenagers here. Number two, the fact that in all of these collectives of statistics that I just mentioned, so the teenagers that are trying to lose weight, teenagers that are actively dieting, and teenagers that are exercising with the goal of losing weight or to avoid gaining weight, for girls specifically, that number is above 50% in all categories. That is scary as shit. Okay, next statistic. A cohort study found that females who dieted moderately were 5 times more likely to develop an eating disorder, and those who practiced extreme restriction were 18 times more likely to develop an eating disorder than those who did not diet. Yikes. Global eating disorder prevalence increased from 3.5% to 7.8% between 2000 and 2018. So in 8 years, we went up 4% in the global eating disorder prevalence. That is scary. 22% of children and adolescents worldwide show disordered eating. Children. 40.2% of women are concerned about their weight during pregnancy period, which is really, really sad. About 1 out of 20 pregnant women are at risk for eating disorders during pregnancy, during a time when your body is expected to change because you are housing another friggin' human being. In the United States, 69 to 84% of women experience body dissatisfaction, desiring to be a lower weight than they currently are. And honestly, I would argue that this number is bigger than that. The majority of the women that I talk to are dissatisfied with their body and desire to be a lower weight. The best known environmental contributor to the development of eating disorders is the sociocultural idealization of thinness. This means that, like it says, the best known environmental contributor to the development of eating disorders is the pressure that we've received by society to fit the thin ideal. By age 6, girls especially start to express concerns about their own weight or shape. 40 to 60% of elementary school girls ages 6 to 12 are concerned about their weight or about becoming too fat. This concern endures through life. And this might seem outrageous, but I remember at 10 years old looking at the label of a Nutri-Grain bar. I remember by grade 6, so age 11, 12, I was throwing my lunch out at school. So yeah, this absolutely makes sense and it's really sad. 79% of weight loss program participants reported coping with weight stigma by eating more food. Children of mothers who are overly concerned about their weight are at increased risk for modeling their unhealthy attitudes and behaviors. This is the generational component of it. Girls who diet frequently are 12 times as likely to binge as girls who don't diet. 95% of all dieters will regain their lost weight in 1 to 5 years. All right, I digress. That is it for the statistics. Hopefully that paints enough of a picture for you as to why these conversations are so important and why there is a need to address how to steer clear of diet culture. Let me also remind you that intuitive eating is backed by science. We have over 120 research papers to demonstrate an abundance of health benefits from this approach. It is not fueling the eating disorder fire. So you don't have to fear that it is another diet that you're getting sucked into that is doomed to fail. Intuitive eating is a self-care eating framework, meaning that our goal is to feel good, be well, and take care of our bodies through the food choices that we make and the relationship that we have with food. And if you've felt that way, hopefully the rest of today's conversation will help ease your concerns. If you have felt, you know, the fear of failing or the fear that intuitive eating is another diet, or if you have felt like you are failing when you have tried it in the past, let's talk about that. So the three biggest mistakes that you might be making with intuitive eating. Number one, assuming that intuitive eating is just giving yourself permission to eat whatever you want. I hear this so often. Well, isn't intuitive eating just eating whatever you want? And if it's eating whatever you want, then isn't it going to be super unhealthy? When we are thinking through this lens, we just end up overconsuming low nutrient dense foods or what you might label as junk food and feeling out of control and then feeling like it's not working because this can't be a healthy approach. We might think if I give myself permission to eat whatever I want, then that's all I'm going to eat all the time. Or maybe that's actually happened to you. That happened to me as well. Maybe you have given yourself permission to eat whatever you want and you've just ended up eating what you would label as junk food and feeling ick. Maybe you just ate candy bars and cookies all day. But if this is what we think, then we're missing the mark on intuitive eating because that's not what it's about. Yes, giving yourself permission to eat all the things is a principle of intuitive eating, but there's so much more to it than just eating whatever you want. There are 10 principles to intuitive eating, some of which include honoring your hunger, honoring your fullness, discovering the feeling of what it is like to be satisfied, gentle nutrition, and joyful movement. And that's only five principles. And so there are five more in addition to that. And all of the principles are part of this validated paradigm that, again, is backed by science. So you better believe that there is more to it than just eating whatever you want. All of these 10 principles work together, which means that you need all of them. And if you want to have a healthy relationship with food, all of the principles need to be encompassed in this approach, and they all build on each other. So if you're going into intuitive eating and only looking at one principle, you're not going to be able to fully tap into it, and you are going to feel like you're failing. If you're experiencing food guilt when you're allowing yourself to eat all the things, you have not made peace with food. So when somebody says to me, I'm eating intuitively, but then they also say, I'm only eating junk food and I feel really bad about it, my response is, you're not eating intuitively. It's one thing to give yourself permission, but if you feel shame or guilt about it, then again, we are missing the mark. And if you're giving yourself permission to eat whatever you want, but you're not listening to your hunger and fullness cues, or you're not able to identify when you're satisfied, you're actually going to take yourself farther away from intuitive eating. I think a huge factor that contributes to those feelings of failure when it comes to intuitive eating or questioning whether or not it's working is the impact of outside influences. So how many of you listening to this grew up in a home where you had to finish everything on your plate before leaving the dinner table? Or you had to eat all of your vegetables before you had dessert? How many of you have friends who love to talk about their diets or what they're eating or what they're not eating and how much weight they're losing or not losing? All of these influences can absolutely make you take a step back and question if intuitive eating is even worth it when your friends and your coworkers and all of these people that are on diet sound like they're having a great time. In this particular example, remember that the high that these people might be experiencing from dieting is only temporary, and what you're seeing is the highlight reel. So if you are thinking about intuitive eating or you're already on your journey, you are here for a reason. You are listening to this episode for a reason, and it's likely because you've started questioning diet culture. All of these external influences, the behaviors that you learned growing up, the narratives that you learned growing up, the behaviors that you might have witnessed in your mom or your caretakers, or the conversations that you are hearing your friends or your coworkers get into about their diets, they're always going to be there. So it's really important to have a strong intuitive eating foundation to be able to challenge them. And if all that we are focused on is eating whatever we want, we're missing that. We're not going to have that foundation there. For a lot of people, we come into it thinking that that's all that it is, you know, just eating whatever you want, unconditional permission to eat everything. But it's actually a lot more complex than that. It's not like a diet where you just have, you know, 1, 2, 3 rules to follow for a specific period of time and then you're good to go. Success. Like learning any new skill or subject or concept, intuitive eating requires structure and guidance and a systematic approach, which is exactly what I do in my coaching programs. I work with women just like you to help guide you through these obstacles, to help learn all of the principles and bring them all together so that you can finally say goodbye to dieting and heal your relationship with food. So yes, giving yourself permission to eat is definitely an important part of the process, but it's just one small piece of the puzzle. And if you've been wondering why it's not working for you or feeling nervous about eating whatever you want for fear that it's all that you're going to eat, please don't worry and know that there is so much more to it and so much more to learn in order to be successful. When we can embrace all of the concepts of intuitive eating, all 10 principles in unison, it makes nutrition a lot more simple and a lot less stressful, and it allows us to make choices that make us feel good but also support our well-being and how we feel in our bodies. Okay, that is it for number one. So that first mistake is assuming that intuitive eating is just eating whatever you want. I'm going to interrupt this episode for just a minute to invite you to start your food freedom journey. To truly discover what it's like to live in peace with food and accept your body. Maybe you've thought about what it would be like to live without food rules, but fear that you won't be able to control yourself around pizza, cookies, ice cream. Maybe you have a desire to eat without food guilt, but fear weight gain. That is why I created my 12-week group coaching program, a step-by-step roadmap to help you ditch the diet mentality and embrace food freedom. Inside the program, you have access to all the tools you need to help you understand your metabolism, eat healthy, satisfying meals, and never feel the need to go on another diet again. You also have access to one-on-one coaching with me to help design a custom game plan specifically for you. So if you're ready, I'd love for you to join me in the Food Freedom Collective. You can grab your spot by clicking the link in the show notes or DMing me the word freedom on Instagram. Whether you've tried intuitive eating in the past or you're sick of dieting and ready to discover what it's like to have a healthy relationship with food that isn't stressful, this program will transform your life. All right, now back to the episode. The second mistake is expecting to be a pro at listening to your body from day one. The number of creators that I see online that are promoting just listening to your body is not helpful, and I think it's giving really misguided information about what intuitive eating is. Because you might then think, well, isn't my body just magically going to tell me how much to eat and when to eat and when I'm full? You might think, okay, now that I've decided I'm eating intuitively, I just have to listen to my body and it'll tell me what I need, right? Unfortunately, if you have spent years breaking trust with your body and ignoring your hunger and fullness cues by dieting or following food rules or meal plans or tracking your food, you're not going to magically be able to reconnect with it right away. Let me paint a picture of how dieting gets in the way of being able to listen to your body cues, just so that you can really understand how this happens. Okay, let's take macro tracking, for example. So let's say that you get to the end of the day and you are stuffed full, but you still have macros left. Well, you better be finishing them, even though now you're unbuttoning your jeans because you've ignored your fullness cues and you've eaten past fullness. Or maybe you get to 5 p.m. and you're already out of food. You've finished all of your macros for the day, but you are so hungry. So you ignore your hunger because you don't want to mess with your macros. Let's take intermittent fasting as another example. Intermittent fasting really messes with your hunger cues because you're only allowed to eat between a prescribed window. So let's say it's 12 and 8. But what happens if at 8 a.m. or 10 p.m. you're hungry? Well, of course, you ignore it in an effort to comply with the rules. And the longer that you do this, the more that you will start to miss those subtle cues. And eventually, you probably won't even be able to recognize them at all. So if you're starting intuitive eating after intermittent fasting or macro tracking or any other form of dieting, you're not going to be able to recognize hunger and fullness right off the bat, which means that listening to your body will not be a thing for you initially. You'll first have to do some metabolic repair and learn all the ways that hunger and fullness can present, because it's so much more than just a grumbling in your tummy. So many of my clients come to me not knowing what hunger feels like and not knowing how to recognize when they're even full. So they often live in these extremes of being super hungry, like hangry, and then being way overly full because they eat so fast that they can't even discern what they're tasting. In my coaching programs, I help you work through this to be able to learn the difference between physical and emotional hunger and to learn how to respond to them without overeating and feeling out of control so that you can listen to your body and become more intuitive. But this takes time and it is an intentional approach. It's not just shouting from the rooftops that you're now an intuitive eater and you're now going to be listening to your body and then all of a sudden your hunger and fullness cues are back in check. A great way to think about this is to look through the lens of someone just learning to play piano or learning how to ski versus someone who is a professional pianist or an Olympic skier. When you're first learning, you have to be really intentional with your hand placements, your foot placements, the muscles engaged, the timing. It's not intuitive to play the piano or ski when you don't have experience. With intuitive eating, sometimes you have to be a little bit more intentional about getting back in touch with your body. And over time, it will become natural. But I cannot stress enough how helpful it is to have guidance and support with this by working with somebody who can help you learn how to recognize these cues in your body, because they can look different for everyone and they present in different ways. And the approach changes depending on things like your dieting history, right? If you have a history of intermittent fasting or cutting out certain foods or tracking your macros or counting calories or anything that is not normal eating, it is going to be difficult for you to just let go and try to listen to your body. Like, you don't even know what you're looking for and your body doesn't trust you yet. It's so, so worth it to have that extra support, to be reminded that yes, it feels like an effort up front and it might be imperfect in the beginning, but once you get into a rhythm, once you refine that skill and you start flexing your intuitive eating muscle, it's smooth sailing for the rest of your life. Versus the alternative of staying in the dieting cycles, those back and forths. When you don't have rules and you're not worried about breaking them, you don't have to worry about not having enough willpower or losing control, which you do have to worry about when you're in the dieting cycles. You're constantly thinking about having enough willpower and staying on track and not breaking your rule a little bit, because then there's the concern of totally going balls to the wall and losing control, right? So please, if you are like a month or 3 months or 6 months into your journey and you've been going it alone, do not give up. There is nothing wrong with you. It's not that intuitive eating isn't working for you. It's just that you likely have had unrealistic expectations, or maybe you're missing a couple foundational pieces to set yourself up for success. Okay, that was number two. So just again, to remind you, number two, biggest mistake that I see when trying to become an intuitive eater is expecting to be a pro at listening to your body from day one. Because what does that even mean? All right, the last and final mistake that I see people making is that they expect intuitive eating to have a final destination. Like, diets always have an end date. It's the assumption that, okay, once I get to XYZ place or accomplish this particular list of things, then I've made it and I'm an intuitive eater. And unfortunately, as sexy as this sounds, there is no end date. Diets have an end date, which is a huge part of why they don't work, but also a huge part of why they sell, because you just have to stick to it and embrace the suck for a prescribed period of time, and then you can go back to your old habits. Intuitive eating is a lifestyle, but it is an approach to wellness that is actually in support of self-care, not self-harm like diet culture is. as humans, we tend to enjoy having measures of progress that fit on a timeline. Even when you talk with someone about smart goal setting, they will tell you to make sure that your goals have a timeline. I actually think I might have talked about this in my resolutions episode at the beginning of the month. And this is an approach that I have when I'm making business goals. I make sure that they have a timeline. But because there's no ending to intuitive eating, we take a different goal setting approach that is more habit-based as opposed to outcome-based, which is why it doesn't sound as sexy as a diet. There isn't a list of rules to follow for a short amount of time that will give you a certain outcome. But because of that, you also don't feel like shit when you do all the things and you don't get said outcome. Like in the case of a diet that promises 30 pounds down in 30 days, but doesn't deliver and then makes you feel like you're the problem because it worked for this subset of people, so you must have just done it wrong, right? But the truth is, your relationship with your body, your relationship with yourself is never ending. Just like every relationship in your life, there is no end date to when you stop putting in an effort and nurturing it if you want it to work. I don't think Richard would appreciate if I stopped putting an effort into our relationship, if I just all of a sudden started ignoring every time he said, I love you. I don't think Hoka would appreciate if I stopped walking him or feeding him, or if I walked away every time he ran up to give me kisses. Although I will say sometimes I turn my head away because he is the sloppiest kisser and he can just lick and lick and lick and he just won't stop. But you get the point. The same goes for how you take care of your body. Your body is always trying to tell you something. Your body's always trying to take care of you. You just have to be willing to learn how to listen and take care of it. When your body tells you that it's hungry, you need to honor that by feeding it. If you continue to ignore your body, it's going to stop trusting you, as is what happens with dieting. And intuitive eating is really designed to rebuild that trust. So as unsexy as it is, intuitive eating is best viewed as a journey instead of an endpoint, which honestly, I think makes it more fun because I'm always working on better listening to my body and understanding my cues and understanding why did I feel this way? You know, do I need to eat more of this? Do I need to eat less of this? Do I need to add certain things? Do I need to change the timing of my nutrition? And it brings me so much joy knowing that I'm doing everything I can to keep a solid foundation and make sure that I continue to be well taken care of. Okay, so that was it for the three mistakes, but I want to wrap up today's episode on that relationship with self note by sharing a story post that I made this week and providing an interesting perspective on it. Okay, so the story that I posted this week included a message from a woman who said, "My husband insists that I've gained weight and can't lose it because of my stomach size. He's pushing me to go on something like Ozempic. He believes that if I shrink my stomach, I will lose weight. He believes all people who are in larger bodies are that way because their stomachs are stretched and large and it takes more food for them to be satisfied. He says that when I go off of Ozempic, I will be able to maintain the weight, and if I can't, then just go back on it." I just want to let that sink in for a minute. I want you to think about how you would respond to this woman, or how you would feel if this was your husband or wife. Many of the responses I received said things like, divorce him, kick his ass to the curb, what a fucking piece of shit, I'd like to tell him to stick it where the sun don't shine. And honestly, me too. But why I'm sharing this isn't to get you fired up about how awful this man is or to start a really heated conversation. It's to have you think about how often you say things like this to yourself. How many times have you told yourself that you're just going to be fat forever? Or maybe you should just take Ozempic? Or how many times have you made yourself feel not good enough because you've gained weight and you can't lose it? How many times have you said things to yourself that if your significant other said them to you, you would kick them to the curb? And this is why the entire framework of intuitive eating, all 10 principles, are so important. Not just allowing yourself to eat all the things, not just blindly listening to your body. This is also why there cannot be an end date. Just because your husband is kind to you for a couple months does not give him permission to tell you to go on Ozempic to lose weight. Just because you are kind to yourself for a couple months does not mean you should just go back to treating yourself like shit. So in summary, I want you to remember that intuitive eating is a learned skill and practice. Just like riding a two-wheeler or playing piano or doing calculus, there is an approach to get you there. And certainly you can try to figure it out on your own, or you can reach out and get the support that you deserve. Remember that there are only 2 weeks left to get into my group coaching cohort and it will change your life. So click that link in the show notes, start the first step by just simply applying. And then we can have a conversation and figure out if this is right for you. There is no commitment by just filling out the application. So I hope to see you in there, and I hope that this episode was helpful to remind you and hopefully validate that you're not doing anything wrong, and there's maybe just some fine-tuning or perspective shifts that need to happen on your journey. Okay, That's all I've got for you. Have the best rest of your day, and I will catch you in the next one. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you guys got value from the show, I would love for you to rate and share it. And if you have any questions about the conversation today, you can always find me on Instagram or Facebook at Chelsea Glubish. Catch you on the next one.